Well, good morning. Once again, welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. The context begins in the same chapter of Matthew, the 8th chapter of Matthew. In verse 28, when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a good way off from them there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. This morning, we have 4 points of application which arise from our text in its context. First, there is testimony for and against Jesus. Second, we note the unity of evil in opposition to Christ. Third, because Christ was rejected, revival was averted. And finally, Jesus will stay or go as you wish. First, we consider the testimony for and against Jesus. The miracle that took place itself was a testimony for Jesus. Hear these words. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him." And Jesus himself challenged the people to make a decision concerning himself. "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Mark records Jesus' instructions to one of the spiritually healed men, not to follow him, but to be a testimony in his own home and in his own hometown. We call this home religion. Some folks are called to be missionaries overseas, but many of us, most of us, are called to be missionaries right here in our Jerusalem, in the great city of Woonsocket, in its environs. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed, began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. On the other side, the pig keepers were afraid, but they were not afraid with holy fear. They were afraid at what else might happen. You see, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So these folks had no room. They had no use for the Lord, for the Savior. And therefore they urged their friends and neighbors to cast Jesus out as an unwelcome visitor who had adversely affected them, their livelihood, and their lifestyles. Maybe that's happened to some of you in your families, even in your homes. For our Lord said himself that he did not come to bring unity, but division, even within one's own household. See, Jesus created division then, and so he does now. Actually, probably should rephrase that. Jesus isn't the one who created the division. Men create the division. Everybody ought to accept Jesus as Savior. And then there would be unity. But those who are of the darkness hate him. And those who straddle the fence hate him also. And as a result, they aid and abet the darkness. Consider Jesus' words. We read this in the Gospel of Luke. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided. Three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And again, we read the response to the words of Christ. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some say, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David, from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. See, everybody had their own opinion. This one went on YouTube, that one went on Google, and they all got all of these varying things. But nobody went to the Word of God. We go to the Bible, and we'll get to the truth. And that's all of these folks had to do, was simply read the prophets, believe what the prophets said, and understand. And again, we read, therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. Again, they failed to apprehend the fact that this Jesus, their Messiah, their Lord, is also God, and stood before them, unspotted by sin. And again we read, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Isn't that encouraging? There's always room for one more sheep to join Christ's flock. Maybe that's you this morning. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Pretty plain words we hear from our Lord. But what happens? Again, Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So where do you come down in all of this, friend? Are you on the side of the men, formerly of evil, but now of the Lord, because they've experienced a spiritual healing? Because it was revealed to them who Jesus is? Or are you with the pig keepers? Perhaps because having Jesus around you all of the time will crimp your sin style. Now, in light of all this, consider the unity of evil men as they line up together in opposition to Christ. Our text says that the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Those who supported the pig keepers were many more than those who were interested in the good Jewish miracle worker. The unity of evil men here was brought out and brought about by opposition to Jesus. Whether rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, we had a mixed group over there in this region, old or young, the great majority prefer not to get too close to Christ because their deeds are evil. And we see this today. Men prefer light shows and soft words from the pulpit rather than to hear the whole counsel of God preached and to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness as we are commanded in Psalms. See, even enemies become friends, albeit fair-weathered ones, in opposing the Lord of glory. It's a great example of this at the end of the Gospel of Luke, when Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. And then the scripture says that that very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other. For previously, they had been at enmity with each other. They didn't get along before, but now they had something in common. They hated the Lord. If Bible believers would have the level of unity that the fanatical unbelievers have when they go out in the streets and proclaim their rights to murder unborn children and the rights of others to perpetrate genocide with such zeal. Imagine if we went into the streets of Woonsocket proclaiming the Lord, if we went out into our immediate environment, our homes, our families, our neighborhoods, within and without our church and professing Christendom, we would not cease turning the world upside down. Now, I do not endorse fellowship with the liberal crowd or those seeking and worshiping on emotion alone, works-based religionists, ecumenists of the carnal crowd, nor would the Lord. For his plea for unity in John chapter 17 is that his people be sanctified or set apart by his word, which is truth. So that gives us the standard for Christian unity. And if we will unify in that, we will please the Lord and will have great effect. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, prayed this for you and I. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Coming back to our text in its context, we see that Christ was rejected, and therefore revival was averted. And so it went as it was written him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And so men, even today, reject the loving Savior. But you, friend, heed his word. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they do not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Friends, this is serious business. And the Lord this morning is calling you into a relationship with himself. For all of us have been separated from God by our sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God has not left us without help. He provided the remedy for sin, a Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, who promises that the one who comes to him with a broken and contrite heart, he will not cast out. He knows your heart. And that if you believe that he died for your sin and rose from the dead, you will have eternal life with him. Shall preach on. There could have been in Gergesa, as there was in Sychar, a great revival. But because of unbelief, revival was averted. If you will not believe, you will avert the Lord's revival today in like manner. If unbelief and lukewarm faith characterizes the church, we too can expect to avert a revival. But if we say with the prophet, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Perhaps we shall see revival in our day, but it must begin in the church, with you and I getting even more serious about spiritual things. If you're serious now, good. Double down. If you haven't been serious, examine yourself and get with the program. And if you're not with the program, you know what comes next. Get with the program. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's stop playing games with He who paid it all for you. Over here at Firm Foundation, as has been our custom, we'll be doing a tent revival June 1st. Mark your calendars, etch it in your brain somewhere. June 1st, 1 to 3. Let's get out there, make a showing for the Lord. Remember, we don't create the revival, but it's good to make ourselves available for the Lord to bring about a revival, if that's what spirit we're of. Jesus will stay or go. You're going to leave here and you're going to go, and Jesus is going to stay or go with you. It's as you wish. For the scripture says, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. And what did he do? He got into a boat. He crossed over. He went back to his own city, went back to Capernaum. If you will not receive his blessings, then others will. If we will not seek revival and awakening, then revival will come in some other place. If you will not walk in God's purpose, then the Lord will accomplish his will with somebody else. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Have you any room for Jesus? Have you a desire to one day be with him in his own city, in the heavenlies? Will you allow him entrance into every area of your life? You know the one that you've been holding back, reserving the right to continue to do this or that. Friends, we can't reserve the right to do wrong. Would he be pleased with your worship? Oh, would he be saddened by your callous spirit? Will he be pleased this morning to find you coming to him with a contrite and a repentant heart? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge in your word. We thank you for the scriptures and the truth that you provide in them. Lord, we ask that you will continue to do your work in us, to sanctify your people, to set us apart for service for you, to give us a heart and a desire to get busier for you than we've ever been. To get busier for you than we get busy doing so many other things. Lord, if there are any who needed to be awakened to their need for you this morning, if there are any who came in here wondering if you would accept them, if you welcome them into the fold or back into the fold, if there are any who came in here weighed down by a load of cares, dealing with spiritual, physical, emotional, or mental infirmities, dealing with sin, anxieties, situations, Lord, let us, each one of us, receive you this morning and welcome you into the city of our hearts. We pray that you will guide us as we continue to worship here this morning. And may all things be done for your honor and the glory of him who paid such a great price for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.